Hallelujah.
It's good to see everyone out today. And I'm very happy to be here. I remember the last time, 2 years ago, we had a wonderful time. And I believe we will have another wonderful time. Yeah, amen. Not because of me, but because of him. Yeah. Anyone could have stood here. We have many good preachers. But this time I happened to pass by. And could have the chance to share something that the Lord is showing me on this pathway of life. You know, every minister have their own originality. God speaks to us in different ways because God wants variety. Right? If you only ate, well, in Malawi they call it Zima. And if you have that every day, then you would say, oh, Zima again. Right? Every time. But then you got Irish potato. And you say, oh, yeah. So it's variety.
It's true for sure.
And we thank the Lord for that. You know, when God started creating, and all of us, we are, according to the word of God, created before the foundation of the world. That doesn't mean that we have any knowledge of that. We can only have knowledge from the day we are born on earth. And for as many years that the Lord allows us to live. So that tells me that God had a certain purpose. You know, every creature that are destined to live, they are really a gift from God.
Amen.
Well, even mosquitoes is a gift from God.
Amen.
We don't like them. When I see a mosquito, oh, yeah, got him. Well, the Lord didn't tell me how valuable they are. Okay. But everything that is alive have received the Spirit of God. So as long as a living creature is moving around, God gave him life. And before the foundation of the world, God knew the end. So therefore, I'm not going to talk about the mosquitoes. But God created animals. And when he placed Adam in the Garden of Eden, then Adam looked at the species. And every one of them had a spirit. He saw the lion, the elephant, the impala, the little mouse running around. And Adam gave name to them all. That's what the Bible says. And what Adam called them, that's who they were. So we're not changing the names of the animals because they have a certain characteristic. And when you look at it, the human mind also have a certain characteristic. Because when God created us, he decided not to put us all on the earth at the same time. No, he just made one man. Then he found his mate, called the woman. Alright? And that was the only one that he felt could match him. So Adam, he knew exactly what to look for.
Yeah.
And when God put his spirit in us, he put a different characteristic according to the time we are living in. So you don't have the same spirit or characteristic that was in the days of the apostles. We believe the same as the apostles. But when we face problems, we face them with different characteristics. The spirit is the same. Because the spirit is God's.
Yeah.
And as long as God let you live, you have got a great gift. Because you, he made you a soul, and that is your personality. The spirit that you have is the same that your brother have and sister have. But your soul is your. That's your ticket. And you better use your soul to benefit God. Right? Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus.
So therefore, when Adam was created, with the personality he had, God gave him his spirit. We know that the spirit itself is eternal. The spirit can never die. Because the spirit is really God's. Yeah. He owns the spirit. He puts it in you so that you can color your life. Very important. So what kind of color do you want to put on your life? What kind of color would you like to put on your life? Remember, some of you have 70 years to do it. And some of you have shorter time. God has averaged out every person's life span. But one good thing is, we don't know how long we're going to live. Hey, some people just die in an accident. Hey, God saw that also.
Hey!
And some people live to be 100 years. Yeah. So that is up to him. So we're not going to play with our life. Because we come to an age where we are getting responsibility. We call it the age of accountability. And that is when the Lord is really watching us. Because we are making decisions. And all of our decisions will have consequences. In the modern world of today, God is losing respect. People say, "Nah, we don't need God." Some has left the thought of God completely. But one day, they will wake up to the realization God is. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So therefore, we have meetings like this so that we can learn to respect God. And not only looking at him to be afraid of him, because God really wants to be our friend. Hey, he created us. He created us so that we could live eternally. Right? Because God's Spirit is eternal. Then he brought his Spirit in our soul. But the soul is not eternal. The soul has a short termination. And it depends what we decide to do with it. When I started reading the Bible, I discovered very early, because it was in the beginning of the Bible, when God created Adam, and he lived in paradise. And I said, "Ma, that must have been wonderful." But he said something. If you disobey me, you shall surely die. But I thought, if God is eternal, And he puts his Spirit in us, which is eternal, then how can we die? So that I was thinking about that a lot. But you cannot only read Genesis. you have to read the whole Bible. And I read a portion in Ecclesiastics. In the last two chapters there, the Lord says that your life comes to an end. And then it says, the soul dies. And the spirit goes back to God who gave the soul life. So therefore, your personality, you are gifted with that. Because God's spirit is in you. But God, who has eternal spirit, He also wants your soul to be eternal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So therefore, He planned for Adam to eat of the tree of life. And He said, don't eat of the tree of knowledge. Because if you do that, you'll die. And what is death? It is separation. Right? And there are two separations. So after Adam failed, he sinned. Or was disobedient. Because you are a soul. You have a gift that is the spirit. And God gave you a body. So you are three elements. Two of them are invisible. But your body, I can see you. Right? So therefore, God said, if you disobey me, I will separate your body from your soul. Right? That's to die. But He also said, you shall die the death. Or surely die. And that doesn't only mean separation of the body and the soul. But it also means separation from the soul and the spirit. Therefore, you can die two times. Right? So we are given 70, 80 years. And we have a chance to fuse our soul with the Spirit of God. And how do we do that? By obeying Him. Separation comes because of disobedience. Right? The Bible also says, how can two friends be together unless they agree? Right?
Hallelujah!
So if friends agree all the time, you have a friend for life. But once you start arguing, you say, you're not my friend anymore. And you separate.
Right?
And when you see the person, once I was a friend with him once. But we could not agree. So we decided to separate. Hey, it works the same In the spiritual realm, you want to be a friend with God? You'll have him for eternity. But once you make up your own mind, and you say, I'm not sure about that, and you start arguing against God, then you cause a separation and you are in trouble. Well, God doesn't have trouble. It's you and I that have trouble. Because God has always had an inviting spirit. You can separate yourself from God, but you can always reconcile back again. Therefore, some people, they backslid. They drift away from God. But as long as they are alive, they can turn around.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus.
So God gave you ability to reconcile you back. Once you find out, my, I was wrong, you can always turn back to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Remember, God said to Cain, because everybody think Cain did not have a chance. But the Bible say, God spoke to Cain and he said, if you do right, you shall be acknowledged. So God gave Cain a chance. Jesus spoke to Judas Iscariot.
Yes,
he knew he was about to betray him. But Jesus said,
yes,
my friend, why are you here? He could have fell on his knees and said, Lord, I'm sorry. But he couldn't. His personality had raised up a standard against Jesus Christ. And he did not want to change. But after, when he saw the result of his choices, his conscience struck him. And he took the money and went back to the synagogue and he said, I have betrayed innocent blood. And the Pharisees, they said, what do we have to do with that? That's your choice. And in desperation, Judas just went and hung himself. Well, we all know that now, because it's a long time ago. But we have a tendency to put people in hell long before their choices is final. So sometimes we say, ha! He's going to hell. He don't have a chance. You know what some people say today? It's too late to get saved. And if they get saved, they'll never be a bride. Well, how do you know? Are you God? Right? Because you came to the Lord as a sinner and God saved you. And why should you have any preeminence than a person that comes to the Lord later?
Yeah.
Remember, the prophet of the hour, he lived to be 56 years old. And he died in 1965. And some people told me, hey, there can nobody be saved. Because the prophet is gone. That is a silly thought. Because then, the Lord who would have had to give birth to everyone before 1965. You see where? So that they would have a chance to understand the message and make the right choice. Some of you were not born in 1965. All of us, we have never seen the prophet.
Yes,
I came to the Lord in 1967. 2 years after the prophet was gone. And the first time I ever heard the name William Branham was in 1972. Because the denominational organizations, they had already branded Brother Branham as a false prophet. This name is never to be spoken in our church, they said. But you know, God has ways.
Hallelujah!
To bypass those things. So if you have a desire for truth, God has ways to get the truth to you.
Hallelujah!
So if you're born very late in life, if you're born very late, you will have the same rights as the people who walk with Brother Branham. And some people, because they traveled with Brother Branham, they want to be some big people. I saw the prophet. Well, that's nice. But you can ask them, did you see Jesus? Right? So you see, it is not what you see physically, but it is what God reveals in your spirit.
Yeah.
There is a little secret here. Because in the Bible, you will find out that the people of Israel, they were walking with the Lord in the time of Exodus. Right? They went out of Egypt and they came into the promised land after 40 years. And then Joshua, he was working to help the Israel to get the land. Then Joshua died. But the people who outlived Joshua, they kept the work going. So Moses was not there. Joshua was not there. But another generation was still working with the same framework. Because, and remember what I say now, because they knew the Lord. But when you read Judges chapter 2, verse 10, here's something very drastic happening. Because those three generations, they knew the Lord. But the Bible says, and then there grew up a generation that did not know the Lord. Alright. So therefore, you can know the message, and you can know about the message. That's different. Right? Hey. Do you know the prophet? You never saw him. You never talked with him. You only read his books. Mm-hmm. But you can still know him. But now, you cannot know him in person. But you can know him in your spirit. Because God gives you a spirit that makes you able to understand your own day. Hey, Brother Branham had a message. Understanding your day and its message. Right? And it is not enough to read the message. It has to get into your spirit so you can know what it means. And it is not enough to know about it. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. You can say, I know about Brother Stroman. I know about Brother Stroman. Right?
Yes.
But you don't know me. You just heard about me. Right? If you're going to know me, you have to go that way. Right? Talk to the Lord. So the Lord will reveal to you that we have the same spirit. We have the same purpose. And by learning to have the same purpose, we start to know each other. You see my wife there? Sister Grace? Do you think she knows me? Or do you think she knows about me? You see?
Hallelujah.
I'm getting personal here. I just want you to grasp something. Because today, it is more than 50 years since Brother Branham passed away. And everyone turning to the gospel today, they will never know Brother Branham in person. But you can read all the books, listen to all the tapes, right? And then you can say, I know about him. Right?
Yes.
But that is not enough. You have to know him by the Spirit. And remember, there's one Spirit. It is God. And he knows how to connect us together. So that we can get the same Spirit as was in the prophet, in the apostles, in Jesus Christ, and you can go as far back as you want. Right. Because God has the same Spirit. Your soul has a certain identification. But if you humble yourself, God will reveal the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of anointing. It's the same thing. Christ anointing. And then you will start understanding what this is all about. I hope I'm talking sense. Remember, you read your Bible and you are surprised. You are
surprised.
Jesus turns around and he says to the disciples, what are you guys talking about? I said, we were talking about who was the biggest among us. Right? And he said, but how could he know that? And he said, if you want to be a great person, you should be everyone's servant.
Amen.
And they said, how could he know? Right? Remember, the disciples were still a natural bunch. And they had a lot to learn. They had a lot to learn. One day Jesus said,
yes, Yabola,
let us go over to the other side.
No.
Take the boat over the Sea of
Gennesaret.
And the disciples, they stepped in the boat. Jesus stepped in.
Yes,
and he laid on the bottom of the boat.
And
he started sleeping. And the disciples were rowing. And here comes the wind. And waves, my. And the disciples said, we're dying. And then they woke Jesus up.
He
said, Lord,
Omani,
don't you care?
So fire.
We're going under.
Efa.
And Jesus looked.
Yes, yawe unja.
And he rose up.
Yes,
and he said, wind,
timu yaka,
be still.
Yeah. Oh, no. Hallelujah.
And the disciples?
Abeki.
What?
Sina.
No.
Hey.
What kind of man is this? They fell on their knees. And they worshipped. And they said, surely, you are the Son of God.
Hallelujah!
You know what Jesus said in return?
Yes,
he looked at them. And he said, "You men of little faith." And they said, "What? How could we not be afraid? How could we not be afraid? We were about to die." Of course they were not about to die. It was only the devil testing their faith. And you may say, how can people have faith when we are about to drown? Well, the secret was Jesus was their Lord. And Jesus said,
"Yes,
I do never do anything on my own self. I don't tell people, come, let's go to the other side. If I tell people that, it is because the Father told me to." So here, it was a natural man which they saw, but they did not see the spirit inside him. And that is what the disciples had to learn. Right?
Yes.
So Jesus took them schooling, training them how to detect spiritual commandments. So the disciples had about 3 years. And it looks like they were surprised every time. Like when Jesus was to wake up Lazarus from the dead. That's John chapter 11. And Jesus said to them, "Let's go up to Bethany." And they had already known for 4 days that Lazarus was sick. And then they said, "Jesus, it is dangerous to go there now." Remember the Pharisees? They're after you. So why should we go now? And then Jesus said,
"Yes, yabola.
A man that is walking in daylight, he has nothing to worry about. Because he sees the light." And Jesus did not mean the sunlight. But it was the light of instructions. From the Spirit of the Father. But the disciples didn't understand that. So therefore they said, "Well, come. Let's go. Let's die with him." They really didn't have the light in them. And Jesus also said, "Night cometh when no one can work." And Jesus did not mean that the sun is going down, so no one can work. No, he was saying, when the Father don't instruct you, then you can do nothing.
Yes.
We cannot just say, let's do something. That is stupid.
Hallelujah.
But once the Father speaks into us, then we have a job to do. And we are walking in daylight, whether it is bright or dark outside. You get me? Alright. So the disciples, they could not figure Jesus out because they did not understand the dialogue that Jesus had with the Father. The only time they would start to understand that would be when they got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then is when people start to understand the leadership of God. That's why the most important message that the messenger of the hour preached was, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Alright, let's go back now. We are spirit and soul. And Adam failed, so that the soul and the spirit could not be fused together.
Right?
To be fused together means the spirit and the soul becomes inseparable. You cannot separate it. And that is the gift of the new birth. That's why the new birth was introduced by Jesus Christ. He said that to Nicodemus, you have to be born again. One thing is to be born in the flesh, but you have to be born in the spirit too. And once you are born in the spirit, then wherever the spirit goes, you will go also.
Hallelujah.
Because now you are swallowed up by the spirit of God. That was God's intention when He created the human soul, that He could fuse the spirit and the soul together so that you and I can live eternally. And that was the purpose of the tree of life. Once you eat of the tree of life, you live eternally. And when you read Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 to 24, God is speaking, and He says, man has become like us.
Oh,
to understand the difference between good and evil. But you know, man learned the difference the wrong way. I hope you catch that. Remember, if you see a young girl and you want to get together with that girl, well, then the Lord says, get married. Right? But some people say, no, I will try this thing first. Right? So they go out and they try this thing. It is the same thing they would do after they marry. You understand? This is not difficult to understand. Because people fail all the time.
Hallelujah.
All right. You know the same act, but one act is done in disobedience. Because you're doing it at the wrong time. You will have the same knowledge.
Yes.
But you will have a conscience problem. You learn it the wrong way. But when you wait till after you're married, you'll have the same knowledge. But now you'll have a good conscience. Right? It's a very simple illustration. But it has consequences. So therefore, that is what Adam and Eve did. They learned it through knowledge. The tree of knowledge. Because God had a timing. And they were not supposed to get together until the Spirit brought them together.
Hallelujah.
Very simple. So people, we should learn to wait upon the Spirit. And Adam and Eve's choice made all mankind come under the law of corruption. And they could not annihilate it. They could not push it away. It was always in their conscience. And God said, now you cannot wait on the right time anymore. I will confuse it. You will never find the right time. A man has always tried to figure out when they can have children and when they think, we're not going to have children now. So therefore, you never know when a child is coming.
Okay?
But of course in Africa, You have 10 children. You have 15 children. Right? In Norway, we have 2 children. Okay. That's not because we're spiritual. Right? Because God has hidden it. So you never know. Okay. So then, God stopped Adam from being able to have eternal life. Because it said, I will not allow you to eat of the tree of life also, and then you will live eternal. Now, I want another one to come up, which would be the second Adam. That was Jesus Christ. And that second Adam, he will obey me. He will wait on me until I inspire him.
Hallelujah.
So he will not go on his own mind. And God said to Adam, if you believe in the coming Christ, then I will give you eternal life. Based on that you believe in the coming Christ. So
Adam,
he received eternal life based on believing that Jesus would pay the price. And through the Bible, God inspired prophets. And the prophets spoke about the life of Jesus Christ in many different ways. The prophets saw something in the spirit. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and she'll have a son. And the people around the prophet, hey, are you crazy? Did you hear yourself what you said? Well, that's what the Spirit showed me. I can only say what the Spirit tells me to say. Yeah, but this is out of the world. Never could there be a virgin bringing birth to a child.
Right.
And several prophets, they gave different prophecies. And you know, when the apostles studied the scriptures after Jesus had passed on and been taken home to the Father, then the apostles said, my Lord Jesus have fulfilled all the prophecies of the Old Testament. He even fulfilled that one in Hosea, out of Egypt I called my son. Eh? And I can tell you, when you read that portion in Hosea, you would not catch that this would be Jesus Christ. It will take the Spirit to reveal it. Right?
Yes.
So therefore, some of the agnostics and the Bible critics of our day, they say this Bible is crazy. And we have found so many faults. It's not possible But it is so strange that our people, after 2,000 years, can find faults. We only have 2,000 years history. And we act like we know the Garden of Eden.
Hey,
that is foolishness. But the people who live with Jesus and saw the prophecies fulfilled one after the other, and they could say, surely he is the one. Who would you believe? Okay, but if you only read the Bible with your natural mind, you'll never catch the real story. And the only thing you will know is about the Bible. You'll never know the Bible. It doesn't get personal. Remember, it is not enough to know about Jesus. You have to know Jesus. And you can only know Jesus by loving Him. And I'm not talking about human love. But I'm talking about the link that God's love comes inside you. As God's love came inside Jesus Christ. And then you can link together. No, you know who Jesus is. And when Jesus then started his ministry, he was starting to teach the people how that they could eat of the tree of life. Because the tree of life is nothing else but the Spirit of God, which we also call the Holy Spirit. Right?
Yes.
So therefore, Jesus said, you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then you will know how to act. And then you will fulfill the purpose.
Hallelujah.
That God said in the beginning. Right? So be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know, that is one of the first things that the devil took away from God's people. He put in traditions instead of being filled with the Spirit. He took away repentance. You don't need to repent, you know. You're already good enough. Just know about God. Just go into theology. So that you can get smart. And you can find out what God really says. Because He didn't say that you're really going to die. Now you're going to get a lot of knowledge now. So he took away repentance. Because repentance means die from your own self. Then he took away water baptism. That is a token that you're really dead, so that you can be buried. And then he took away the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And for 1,000 years the people didn't know about true repentance. And that is why the Lord sent the reformation. And Martin Luther learned about the new birth. Justified by faith. And John Wesley, sanctification, and really live a holy life, get dead and buried, baptized. And then the Pentecostal revival, Azusa Street, and the spreading of the gospel, that everyone can know be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you know, when the Pentecostals finally understood about the Holy Spirit, they started making it difficult for people to receive the Holy Ghost. When I came into the gospel, the Pentecostal had already taught people, first you repent, and then we're going to check you out if you really repented. We will check you out. And if we find out that you are not a polite person, then we will baptize you. And when you're baptized, all right, in a while now, you may seek the Holy Spirit. Well, you may never get it. It may take years. Because now, you have to speak in tongues. And if you don't speak in tongues, then you don't have the Holy Spirit. So they put up a lot of denominational thoughts and made the people have a struggle. They didn't know what they had anymore. When I came to the Lord, I didn't know nothing about the Bible, but I heard the voice of the Lord, and he said, you need to get in to the spiritual dimension, right? Not only your natural dimension, but there is a spiritual dimension. And I am inviting you into that in dimension. And one day, I was sitting in church, and I heard the voice again. Now is the time. You have to make a change of your life. I have been thinking long enough about this dimension. I still didn't mean and know what it meant. But you will never figure out God by sitting on the outside and try to figure him out. You can only get inside. So that night, I spoke to the Lord, and I said, if you can prove to me that you really are God, then I will surrender. I'll give my life to you. And that night, he convinced me, because I said something in my heart. I said, Lord, if this happens, then I am all yours. I'll live for you the rest of my life. Because then I know there is a God. And that very thing happened that night. So I said, well, Lord, you have convinced me. And I invited him into my heart. I still didn't have a Bible. I didn't know nothing about the scriptures. But the next day, I went to town. I bought a Bible.
Hallelujah!
And I started reading. And the more, I didn't understand anything. Because I was just a newborn baby. But as I read, it was very interesting. And then I found something that Jesus said to the apostles, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember, I said, Lord, what is the Holy Spirit? How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? And do I have the Holy Spirit? But there was no real answer. So I said, well, guess I probably don't have the Holy Spirit. I had turned to the Lord, but I was not yet baptized, because nobody spoke about baptism. So I couldn't know anything about it. And nobody was speaking about the Holy Spirit, because I was in the Salvation Army. So here, I was reading.
Lord Jesus, not you, sir.
And you say to me, it looks like the apostles needed the Holy Spirit. To be able to work for the Lord. So I said, Lord, I guess I don't have the Holy Spirit. So now, fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But I didn't know how it was going to happen. I just read the Bible. And the Salvation Army would not tell me anything about it.
Yes, that's you, my brother.
So here, I have a trumpet in the corner. I always pray trumpet. And I joined the Salvation Army's brass band. Did I say that much? That's okay. I know. All right. So on a Tuesday night, I went to the brass band. And I was sitting there playing my trumpet. And suddenly the Holy Spirit came down. And he said, pack your instrument. I will send you to a different place. And he showed me a church in my own city. I knew all the streets of the city. And in there was a congregation. And he said, you shall go down there and I will fill you with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I packed my instrument. I told the conductor, I need to go. I could not tell them the Lord spoke to me right now. Then they would think I was crazy. But the Lord actually spoke. And I ran down to that church. Because we have been praying In the same time as churches have their meetings. And I came into the church at the end of the service. All the preaching was already done. And the people were standing just before dismissing. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I came as fast as I could. But I didn't know what was going to happen. I said, well, Lord, I'm here. And I stood there for a few minutes. And the preacher was looking down. And he said, is there anyone here tonight that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit?
Yes,
yes,
me. Oh, glory to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
So they called me up front. And they said, oh, so you want the Holy Spirit? And they said, are you baptized? I said, baptism? I don't know about that. I think that my parents, by tradition, brought me to the church when I was a little baby, and they sprinkled some water on my head. And the man said, that is not baptism. I said, it's not? No. You have to be immersed. And I said, is that in the Bible? And they said, yes, it is. Well, I said, I believe everything that is in the Bible. But I thought, I'll go home and check that out first. So therefore I was standing there. Are you going to pray for me? And they looked and said, well, let's pray for him. And they laid hands upon me. And you know what I said? Lord, according to your promise, I now receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, a peace like a river came over my soul. And I was standing there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh. I am now filled with the Holy Ghost. But the preacher, he was not satisfied. Because he believed to have the Holy Spirit, you had to speak in tongues. And for me, this was a new church. I did not know what they were teaching. So I was just standing there, happy. Oh Lord, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. But the preachers, they said, Lord,
Baba, Tuman,
fill him with the Holy Ghost. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. Fill him.
What did you say?
And I said,
Nabola,
that is strange.
Is this a Kenny?
Don't they know?
Lufanima?
I am filled now.
Now,
but they got kind of irritated. They were not happy. Because they did not know what was happening in my spirit. And then finally they said, "Well, sir, can you at least pray?" I said, "Well,
how about you?
I can thank the Lord for giving me the Holy Spirit, because I have received it." And I started, "Thank you, Lord, for filling me with the Holy Ghost." And then some joy started spreading inside me. And I got louder and louder. And suddenly I spoke in tongues. I didn't even know that you were supposed to speak in tongues. But the Lord, at least He made them satisfied. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus.
So I heard them say, finally he got it. Yeah. I did not know about the Pentecostals. I did not know their practice. But I knew my Bible. Because it says, you repent. And then I wasn't baptized yet. Because I didn't know about that. But it says, you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I was. After that, I got home and I started reading about water baptism. And I found out every believer was baptized after they believe. Believe and be baptized. I said, that's the way. But the next day, after I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I went back to my church, and we had a prayer meeting. Everyone was kneeling by their chairs. And we all had to pray one after the other. That was the rule of the church. And when time came for me, I was so happy because I was filled with the Holy Ghost yesterday. And I started praising the Lord. And suddenly, I found myself speaking in tongues. And the people got so scared. They jumped out of the seat. And they ran out. So when I finally looked, I said, "Where are all the people?" There were a lot more people. And the pastor said, "When you spoke in tongues, they all got scared. And they ran out." But he said, "Remember now, I know the Bible. And the Bible teaches about these things. It has never happened in the Salvation Army before. But I cannot go against it. Because it is the Bible." Hallelujah.
Glory to Jesus.
So then I told the brother, "Hey, I also read about the baptism in water. And I know that you don't do that here. But I need to fulfill the Bible."
Hallelujah.
So how should I do this? And he said, well, we don't baptize people. But I know that the Pentecostals do. Maybe you should go and ask them. So I went down there. I spoke to the pastor. And I said, I am a Salvation Army soldier. But I read in the Bible that all believers get baptized. Can you baptize me? And he said, we only baptize members. I said, well, I am a member of the Salvation Army. No, I mean our members. Well, so you won't baptize me? Well, he said, we can make an exception. You can come Sunday. And we will baptize you. So, on Sunday I came. It was a much bigger church than the little Salvation Army I went to. But I got baptized in water. It was Trinitarian. But I didn't know the difference anyway. So, here I was baptized. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I came back to the Salvation Army. And I rose up and testified. And I said, according to the Bible, believe and be baptized. Last Sunday, I was in the Pentecostal church. And I fulfilled the word of God. So I said, if there's anyone here that are not baptized yet, come. Let's all go down there. So we can be baptized. And they got mad. And they said, Mr. Strawman, it's almost like that was the unpardonable sin. And they said, Strawman, you are nothing but trouble. You will never be a good soldier of the Salvation Army. To me, the pastor said, you sound more like a Pentecostal already. So why don't you go down there? I said, you don't want me anymore? He said, no, it's only going to be trouble. I said, oh, okay. So, I left and I never went back there again. Because they did not want the Bible. Of course, they wanted some of the Bible. They wanted some of it. But they didn't want all of it. So I started going in Pentecostal church. And then I met my wife. We got married. And we started evangelizing. Because she was already a Pentecostal. She had been a Pentecostal all her life. And then I got a tape. A Pentecostal brother had received a tape. And he didn't understand the tape. And he said, Mr. Strawman, can you listen to this and tell me what you think? And that tape was a message about William Branham.
Amen.
I had never heard the name before. But what the tape related, I had an open Bible, and I was reading all the scriptures, and I said, well, that is right. And I said, my Lord, how come I have never thought this before? So I was puzzled. And then I saw baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I said,
well, how was I baptized? I said, I need to find out about this. And then Trinity, comparing one God, I said, am I a Trinitarian? I didn't even know I was a Trinitarian. But I found out my system was Trinitarian. And they baptized in Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, according to the Bible, I will never baptize anyone in titles. If I'm asked to baptize, I'll be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So I was already convinced that the brother Branham was really telling the truth. But my system, they found out that my message started changing. I started preaching about Laodicea. And they said, Brother Stroman, something's happening. It sounds to me, they said, you're preaching more like William Branham. And I said, well, whatever he preached makes sense. Because that is the Bible. And then he said, Mr. Stroman, do you believe about that thing in the Garden of Eden also? Hey, they don't want to talk about it. Right? I said, that thing means more in the Bible than any apple. Adam did not eat an apple. And they said, Brother Stroman, you are not Pentecostal anymore. I said, you don't want me here anymore? And they said, no. Leave us. And we will tell all the Pentecostal churches in Norway that you have started with wrong doctrine. I said, okay. Bye bye.
Bye.
I left and I never went back there again. Then I said, Lord, help me to find people that baptize in the name of Jesus Christ and that believes in the prophet or this agent. And we found out about the convention in the south of Norway. And there was a preacher there from America. And my, he was preaching a beautiful message. And he made the Bible talk. And I said, Lord, this is what I want. So Grace and I, always in agreement. We went to that preacher and said, can you baptize us in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
And he said, I will be glad to.
Yes,
so it took us down to a lake and we were rebaptized.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So I learned through experience and through reading the Word of God, and it kept a standard inside me. Because I heard Brother Branham, I read his books, I listened to tapes, and I said, Lord, when I am going to preach, I need to see what Brother Branham teaches in the Bible. Because if I don't see it in the Bible, then I don't understand what Brother Branham means. Remember, we can quote Brother Branham, but we may never understand what he meant. And the preacher who baptized me, we became friends for many years. And we traveled to many places of the world. But he had been with Brother Branham. And he had been sitting in his meetings. So when he was preaching, he was preaching on the same line as Brother Branham. But he was using the Bible as a reference to back up that this is the truth. Right? And we were one time in Russia together, and there was a Russian young brother, and he opened up a quote to Brother Branham, and he started and he was so proud. He had made a very bold statement. And the brother said, hey, do you know what it means? Because I was there when he preached that sermon. So you see, you can pick out a quote, but you can tear it from its original meaning. And you can end up quoting things that leads you outside the Bible. Right? So therefore, it is so important that you know your Bible. You know your God. You know your prophet. You know Jesus Christ. You just don't know about them. It gets personal. The Lord need to teach us. And remember, the Spirit is still alive. It's never too late to become a bride. How do you get to be a bride? By knowing the message or knowing about it? No. A bride is a person that has repented, died, got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and got filled with the Holy Ghost. Because being filled with the Holy Ghost fuse you together and you become one with God. So when God is pulling His Spirit back, you go back with it. Because you're together. And just the last little thing, maybe it's, I take too much time, maybe. But here, how are we going to go through the second death? Everybody knows your first death is the separation from your soul and your body. Right? Your body dies, it withers away, and is no more. But your soul and your spirit is still together. Right? Hey, a believer, you go to heaven. But a unregenerated soul, an unbeliever, he also still have his soul and the Spirit of God. But that soul is not born again. Right? So it's very important that you get born again. But if you're not born again, your soul will still live on. Because the Bible says, every person shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Or the white throne judgment. If you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that means you are a born again Christian. And you can never go to hell. You will be saved. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15. Right? That's very important. Remember, some people say, oh, the bride will never be judged. I will tell you one thing. The bride will never be condemned. But remember what Paul said. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So there Paul included himself. And we are no better than Paul.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Yes.
So there is no condemnation. But your and my works are going to be tested out. Remember, we can do selfish work and still be believers. We can say, oh, the Lord spoke to me today, but He never spoke. We just want to make an impression. So people can say, oh, the Lord speaks to him. Ah, he must be something. Right? So therefore people like to tell that God speaks to them. Even when he don't. Why should we do that? Don't tell people lies because you want to be an important person. It's remember Brother Branham? He prayed for thousands. And he said, thus said the Lord, you shall live. But there were times he didn't say that. You know why? God never told him. Right? He only spoke about people to live when he heard the voice. He never experimented on the faith of God. He always waited on the Spirit. He was probably the most honest man on earth.
Yeah.
When he said, the Lord spoke to me, then you can bet he did. But another time, he came to a hospital. He was going to pray for one of the brothers in his own church. And the man was dying. And the brother said, Brother Bram, am I going to live or die? And Brother Branham said, I don't know. The Lord never told me. Hey, that is honesty. But very few people want to talk on these terms. Remember, you and I, we're not so special. We are sinners saved by grace. And we are not walking here instead of God. No, we're walking here because God has revealed himself to us. And if there is something God hasn't revealed, then don't act like he has revealed. Because the only way that you and I can be trusted is when we always speak the truth. So our brothers and sisters, when they check us out, when they start to check you out, they'll find out that you always speak truth. Then they will start to trust you. And they can even talk between themselves. When this brother speaks, it's always the truth. I've heard him now for 20 years and he never spoke anything outside the anointing of God. Yes, amen. So therefore, when you stand before that judgment, remember you've got gifts of the Spirit inside you. But don't intend that the gifts are operating if they are not. Remember Brother Branham said? He said, I can pray for 1,000 people and they may not be healed. But if the next one comes, I will pray for that one also. Because I am not the one who brings results. I leave that to God Almighty. Right? So if nothing happened when you pray, don't say, oh, I just had a bad day. Right? Because it's not you who heals them anyway.
Hallelujah.
God is the healer. And remember what Brother Branham said? He said, Jesus never healed one person. How can you understand that? Right? You can only use John 5:19 to understand such a statement. Because Jesus said, I can do nothing. Only what the Father shows me, I do likewise. So therefore, technically, Jesus never healed anyone. He just spoke what the Father told him to say. God Almighty is the healer. But Jesus was the best instrument on earth. He recognized the voice of God in all aspects of life. That's what Jesus taught us. And that is what we should do also. So the judgment seat of Christ will examine whether we did things out of our own dreams. Or if we did it through the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Okay? And if we did things just to make ourselves important, God will burn that work away. And if everything we did was just to make ourselves important, then the Bible says we will be saved, but only through fire. So all your works will be worth nothing. Because you did it yourself. But everything you did under inspiration will stand the test. Because God will say, I inspired him to do that. And now, your works will become gold and silver and precious stones. And you will receive a reward.
Hallelujah!
That is why I call 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 through 15 the examination of the bride of Christ or the judgment of the bride of Christ. Right? But I'm not saying the condemnation of the bride of Christ. I just want to wake us up so that we stop foolishness. You think, I can do all things in Christ. That is a pretty good statement if you let it be in Christ. But my suspiciousness is that you put your emphasis on I can do all things. Right? But if you say, I can do all things in Christ.
Right?
That becomes a little different. And since you're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, you will always be eternal. And then finally, what happens to the unregenerated soul? Because he never got fused with the Holy Spirit. They denied the message. They denied Christ. They don't care about God. And then they will end up in a different judgment. Right? The white throne judgment. That's Revelation chapter 20. Verse 11, and he says there, if your name is not written in the book of life, you will end up being thrown in the lake of fire. The lake of fire have one distinct purpose. Yeah. It is to separate the soul from the spirit.
Yeah.
Remember, if you are fused with the Spirit of God, you're born again. It is impossible to separate you and the Spirit of God. You'll always be with Him. The lake of fire is not for you. The lake of fire is for the unregenerated soul that never cared about God or anything. So therefore, if you have been a bad sinner and you have caused a lot of pain, then when you're thrown in the lake of fire, whatever penalty that will be, your soul and your spirit will be linked. Will be linked together for as long a time as God decides. And when the penalty is over, like God says, that's enough. And then he say, I take my spirit home. Because the lake of fire purifies the spirit of God from the degenerated soul. That has caused so much hurt on earth.
Right?
So the soul are destroyed and never will be found anymore. Right? And the spirit goes purified back to God who gave it. But there will be no identification of the fallen man in that spirit. Do you understand me? Right? You shall die the death. You shall surely die. You die bodily and spiritually. Yeah. But born again secures you. You will only die bodily. And when you live to see the coming of the Lord, then the Lord will change you. And you will have a resurrected body even before you go to the grave. That's the promise of God. One day it will come when He will take the people home. If we are alive, He will change us and we'll go home. But if we're dead, well, He'll just raise us up in a resurrective body. But remember now, this is the last little statement, and I will quit. Resurrective body, what is that? And is the resurrective body eternal? You understand what I mean? Remember, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, even the bad people will raise up in a resurrected body. I hope you see what I say here. Everyone shall stand before God. Everyone will have a resurrected body. But only the people who are fused with the Spirit of God in their spirit will live eternally. Right? And only that resurrected body will live eternally. If Adam had not sinned, he would have walked here with us today. He would have been 6,000 years. But he would look like he was 20. He would look like he was 20. Because age wouldn't matter. And when your resurrective body comes, we're not talking about age anymore. So, resurrective body is not necessarily eternal. Right? It is your born again experience that makes you eternal. I hope you catch that. Because sometimes you may end up, how can bad people come up? You might say, well, they don't have a body. Only believers have resurrected bodies. No. Everyone will stand before God and they will have bodies. But it is what they did. Their soul and the determination where they want to walk. With God or without Him. That determines if your resurrected body will keep on living. Right? So back into the lake of fire. God separates the spirit from the soul. And that person is no more. And you say, but what about the scripture? The believers are going to step on the ashes of the unbelievers. Have you read that in the Bible? Of course you read it. But do you know what it means? Do you see believers? You'll never see that. Right? Now, hey, your righteousness is stepping on the unbeliever. Right? With your choices, it's almost like the unbelievers say, You're stepping on everything I stand for. And you say, that's because the Lord told me I shall walk in righteousness. In the, if that means I'm stepping on you, well, so be it. Because you can turn around today and you can walk with me and no one will step on you. Because stepping is just a signification. It is a type. It is not a picture of an angry bride that finally can say, ha ha ha, now I can get to the unbeliever. No, you'll never do that. You will always have a forgiving spirit.
Yeah.
And I hope we learn something today together. I learn a little every day.
Yes.
I learn a little every day. And I pray that you understand me this afternoon. Okay.
Nah, no.
The Lord bless you. Amen.
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 It's a lot more to it. It is a lot more to it.
Yes.
But we cannot take it all in one swallow. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
My brother. Praise the Lord. God bless you, my brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless you, my brother. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Don't
get a
holiday.
No.